Hello, everybody. I'm going to get a few things out of the way, then we're going to... I got a video to play for you guys, and you guys are going to enjoy this one. Got a request for George Carlin's American Dream. So here we go.
It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Hello, everybody. We got people joining us from all over. Canada, Chicago, Texas. Yeah, you did. Yeah, I want to play this right here. This is, you're going to enjoy this one. Because this is a video by a guy named Larkin Rose.
And it's about, hey, this is Larkin Rose, and I just had to quick throw together a video about...
Hang on. Anyway, but this is, this guy did a video on shooting cops. He says if the blunt truth makes you uncomfortable, maybe you need to be uncomfortable. So I'm going to play his video right now.
Hey, this is Larkin Rose, and I just had to quick throw together a video about an article I wrote many weeks ago, actually, called When Should You Shoot a Cop? It was published on copblock.org, and it has since made national news at least two or three times. Now, of course, the title When Should You Shoot a Cop? Is going to make people freak out. And it seems that hardly anybody actually read the article, but just did the knee-jerk reaction. In fact, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of the article because it perfectly sums up the way most people responded. Again, the title was, When Should You Shoot a Cop? That question, even without an answer, makes most law-abiding taxpayers go into knee-jerk conniptions. The indoctrinated masses all race to see who can be first and loudest to proclaim that it is never okay to forcibly resist law enforcement. In doing so, they also inadvertently demonstrate why so much of human history has been plagued by tyranny and oppression. Now, a few weeks ago, apparently somebody printed out the entire article and was handing out copies or leaving them lying around at an Occupy Phoenix, I think it was, something down in Arizona. It wasn't me who handed them out. Had I been there, it would have been. So somebody handed them out, and it made national news that, oh, look what they're handing out at the Occupy this, that, or the other thing events. And I heard tell that Glenn Beck read some of the letter. Of course, he didn't read the whole thing, and I don't think he gave the name to make sure people couldn't actually look it up to see what else it said.
I should quick mention how the mainstream media, when it reported this, in a lot of places they talked as if, we think we might know who wrote this article, as if it was some clandestine conspiracy. I wrote it. It has my name on it. It's out in public. I say these things in public all the time. I don't speak for the Tea Party. I don't speak for Occupy Wall Street. I speak for me. And if you don't like what I say, try addressing what I say instead of having tantrums about things I didn't say.
Now, what was fascinating to me is that as soon as this made it in the media that this was being handed out at an Occupy whatever event, the right-wing statists all jumped on board to say, see what these Occupy Wall Street types are like? They want violence. They want lawlessness. And I hate to break to you, but I'm not one of the Occupy Wall Street types. Almost as quickly, the left-wing statists turned around and said, no, 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 that's what the Tea Party believes. That's what you right-wing statists believe. So basically, I wrote something. Two groups who don't believe what I believe started pointing their fingers at each other, saying, this is what you believe, this is what you believe. So grow a spine. If you want to point fingers, point it at me, because I'm the one who wrote it, and I don't believe what either of those groups believe. We have a few things in common on both sides, but before you point a finger and have a tantrum, try actually reading the thing instead of complaining about things you guess I might have said. One of the main themes of the article is that throughout history, most mass evil has not been done in spite of law enforcement. It's been done in the name of law enforcement. You look at the regimes of Stalin and Mao and Hitler and Pol Pot and go right down the list. What they did, they called law. They legislated it, and then they had their law enforcers go out and implement evil. So when people say, oh, that's horrible, it's dangerous, apparently Glenn Beck said this is the dangerous stuff that's out there, is talking about forcible resistance. Oh, really? What's the alternative? The alternative is that absolutely anything a government wants to do to you, you have to let it. No matter what. Wants to pile you on cattle cars? Well, it's totally evil to talk about resisting, so we better not. Wants to shut everybody up? Wants to disarm everybody? Wants to make it a practice to randomly search people and interrogate them and for no good reason? Well, you have to just let them, because apparently it's uncivilized to talk about actually resisting. Now, earlier, before the Arizona thing, down in South Carolina, some Republican, I think it was Kershaw County Republican Party, whatever, somebody there clicked like on my article, like on Facebook. Which doesn't mean I absolutely agree with everything. It just means, hey, look at this. And a bunch of other Republicans in the Kershaw County Republican Party just had a fit. Oh, we can't have this. We must drum him out. Because they're unthinking, spineless, brainless cowards. And let me tell you why I say that. And why Glenn Beck is an absolute hypocrite and an intellectual wimp. Because he also said, this is dangerous. We can't have this. Let's not talk about this. Some of the other people that Glenn Beck should shun, that the South Carolina Republicans should shun, that the mainstream media, left and right, everybody, shun these people, condemn them as evil and horrible, and don't associate yourself with them in any way. Number one, Thomas Jefferson, who said that no people can preserve liberty unless, quote, its rulers are warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance. And then he specifically said, let the people take up arms. What do you think he was talking about? Going like this? guns around, he was talking about the possibility of using violence against the state to resist tyranny. Number two, George Washington. You better condemn him and shun him and don't talk about him anymore, because he openly advocated that the people should always be more heavily armed than any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. End quote. In other words, George Washington wanted the people to be able to win in a shootout with their own government. Now, you may not like to hear that. You may not like to talk about it. It's not a very pleasant subject when you talk about using deadly force. But this is going to be a pretty long list of people that you have to condemn and distance yourself from, whether you're on the left or the right, if you think it's totally horrible to discuss the use of physical force against law enforcement. Number three, James Madison. He advocated having a militia which greatly outnumbered and outgunned the government's own soldiers, saying that, quote, a militia thus circumstanced could never be conquered by such a proportion of regular troops. In the creation of this country, they were planning on having the people retain the ability to violently resist their own government. You don't like to hear that? Tough turds. They all talked about it. Number four, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. What do you think that meant? Give me liberty or I'll whine a little bit and vote later on?
As another quick aside, when Patrick Henry spoke of liberty, he said, quote, unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are ruined. He wasn't talking about petitions and elections and working within the system. He was saying freedom requires forcible defense.
Benjamin Franklin said that democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch, and added that liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the outcome of the vote. Got that? He was talking about the use of violence to fight against a democratically appointed but tyrannical government. Alexander Hamilton said he wanted average citizens to be armed so they could, quote, stand ready to defend their rights and those of their fellow citizens against their government's own enforcers. To be armed against your own government. Well, you better never mention Alexander Hamilton again, because he's nasty and horrible and we can't have any talk about that. Noah Webster openly discussed the use of violence against law enforcers, when he opined that the United States government, quote, cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. And he added that Congress, because of that, Congress can, quote, execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional. What was he talking about? He was talking about the people deciding that their own government was doing something unconstitutional and resisting using guns. You don't like the discussion? Fine. Just don't pretend you believe at all what any of the founding fathers believed. And, of course, the list wouldn't be complete without mentioning a particularly radical anarchist-type document called the Declaration of Independence, that says that whenever any government becomes destructive of individual liberty, it is the right and duty of the people to alter or abolish it. Now, do you think they meant ask nicely? Well, what did they do right after they wrote the Declaration of Independence? They shot at law enforcers. Ever heard of the Battle of Lexington, the shot heard around the world? The law enforcer said, lay down your guns. And they didn't. They didn't say, well, we're going to petition the king. They didn't say, well, we're going to vote. They said, no. And if you want to have a shootout, we're going to have a shootout. So there's another bunch of people you can condemn if you don't like the discussion about when to resist legal tyranny. Now, just to add to the list of people you should condemn and never associate with, how about the Supreme Court of the United States? Check out their ruling in John Bad Elk versus United States, where they ruled that using even deadly force against a law enforcer, if he's acting outside of his authority, isn't necessary. necessarily a crime at all. So you better shun them, because they talked about it too. Of course, the list goes on and on forever. Basically, anybody who's ever had a brain has understood that if you want freedom, you have to retain the ability and willingness to forcibly resist people who want to enslave you. Maybe this is more of the attitude that you'd like to adopt and proudly wear on your chest. Citizens who wanted to use firearms should become law enforcers, because ordinary citizens don't need guns, as their having guns doesn't serve the state. That's Heinrich Himmler. So if you're like Glenn Beck or the mainstream media, right or left, doesn't make any difference, or the Kershaw County Republican Party, and you want to side with the attitude of Stalin and Lenin and Mao and Hitler and Pol Pot and all of them, who were very big on not having the people forcibly resist law enforcement, you want to side with them instead of siding with those wackos like Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Hamilton and all them, be my guest. But don't pretend you care about what this country was founded on. Don't pretend you care about liberty. Don't pretend you believe in unalienable rights at all. Because if it's your position that it is never okay to forcibly resist anything that government does, you don't believe in unalienable rights. Glenn Beck, you don't believe in unalienable rights if you don't believe that it's ever justified to use physical violence against evil committed in the name of law. Most of all, to those of you out there, the Republican Party pretends to care about the Second Amendment. Conservatives pretend to care about the Second Amendment. If you cannot enter the discussion of at what point should we resist by force, you don't believe in the Second Amendment. You don't believe what the founders believe. The Second Amendment wasn't written so that if things get really bad, we can run off and duck hunt. It was written so if things get really bad, the people can kill government agents. And I know it's not a pleasant topic, but if you're too much of a chicken turd to think about it and talk about it in serious, real terms, and you think, oh, just run away, do as you're told, just do as you're told, I would never advocate that, you will be a slave forever. If you really and truly believe that you never have the right to stand up against oppression as long as it's called law, you're doomed. You will never be free. You're not even free inside your own head. So if you're like the Kershaw County Republicans or The Blaze or all these mainstream newspapers that had a tantrum over the article, probably without reading it, or Glenn Beck saying this is dangerous, if you're one of those people who think that's horrible to ever even discuss using physical violence against law enforcers, okay, you can believe that. Crawl back into your cage, it's okay. Just don't pretend you believe in freedom. Don't pretend you believe in unalienable rights. Don't pretend you believe in the Constitution and the Second Amendment, because you don't. If you really are of the mindset that whatever government does to you, it is never okay to forcibly resist, you're a slave, and you will be a slave forever.
Well, the do's and don'ts, but let me get this, we got one caller right now. Let me get him on the way. Hello there. Is that you, Pete? Hello? 978. 978. Going once.
Hey, Phil, you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just now called in. I haven't even heard what's been going on tonight. My head's stuffed up like nothing else, so I guess I'll have to play a little bit of catch-up with what all's happening.
Well, I played a few things, the one I played was by this guy named Larkin Rose, and he made a video about shooting cops, and he explained it. About 15 minutes long, and the link is in the chat room.
Okay.
But everybody was making their comments on it, especially me, and Thomas Jefferson, he was let's see. Get back to one that I wrote here. No, there are many who will fight the government henchmen. I'm one. cops are usually the ones perpetrating the most heinous crimes in the name of the law. A good cop is a fairy tale. If they existed, they would be arresting the bad cops. This is extremely rare. When good cops see their fellow pigs shooting peaceful protesters, they would arrest them because they don't, because they're all cowards. Fear is what motivates the cock. Well, it says cocksuckers, but it should be cocksuckers, and they are cowards. And Ragdoll chimed in with control freaks.
Did you get that email I sent you just a little bit ago about that?
I was gonna bring that up right now.
Right on.
I put it in the chat, but this guy is his name is Alan West. He's a former Army Lieutenant Colonel. So his Weekly Standard, and he had something to say about that picture that went around the world, or that video, I should say, about the Marines pissing on the dead bodies. So, let me see. Okay, I can't load the video, but what I'll do is I'll read what you sent me. Anyway, this is Alan West. He's a former Army Lieutenant Colonel. He sends the Weekly Standard an email commenting on the Marines video, and has given us permission to publish it. He says, "I have sat back and assessed the incident with the video of our Marines urinating on the Taliban corpses. I do not recall any self-righteous indignation when our Delta snipers Shugan and Gordon had their bodies dragged through Mogadishu, nor do I recall media outrage and condemnation of our Blackwater security contractors being killed, their bodies burned and hung from a bridge in Fallujah. All those over-emotional pundits and armchair quarterbacks need to chill. Does anyone remember the two soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division who were beheaded and gutted in Iraq? The Marines were wrong. Give them the maximum punishment under a field grade level Article 15, which, for those who don't know, it's a non-judicial punishment. Place a general officer level letter of reprimand in their personnel file and have them in full dress uniform stand before the battalion, each personally apologize to God, country, and corps, videotaped, and conclude by singing the full United States Marine Corps hymn without a teleprompter. As for anyone else, unless you have been shot at by the Taliban, shut your mouth. War is hell."
Yeah, perfect.
Can't say it any better than that.
No, you can't. You know, it's all the liberals out there that don't know what the hell's going on that are standing up and causing all the problems. Give them a rifle and send them over and see how they react.
Yes. Well, when it started, I went back and they told me that I was too old. I was like, no way. Yeah, too old.
Really?
But, yeah, I don't, you know. I don't know what else to say, man. These guys, you know, everybody's got their own deal going.
Yeah. Yep, it's just too bad that the same rules that we have to follow through the Geneva Convention and everything else, the people that we're going up against don't give a shit. They do whatever they want, and, you know, it is ridiculous. Our hands are tied by the idiots.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I've talked to people in my town. I won't divulge my source, but he's been here a long time, and he knows me for a long time. And I asked him some questions about things that were going on, and his response was that the guy in internal affairs really has his hands full, because the same assholes who try and fuck with us are pulling women over to talk to him. They haven't done anything wrong. Follow them home from the bar, and then pull them over and ask them if they were drinking or whatever, just to meet them. I like, well, if you wanted to meet girls, go on a dating site. Use your fucking badge in the car as your utensil. I have a caller from Chicago. She's got something. You'll enjoy this. Nora, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And I was reading what you had
well,
said.
Well, I sent you the link.
Yeah. Now, well, I'll let you tell it. Go ahead. By the way, this is Ryan. He's in Greeley, Colorado. And this is Nora. She's in the Chicagoland area.
Hey, Nora. Nice to meet you up here.
Nice to meet you. Go ahead. So, sorry.
No, well, what I was going to say was I'm trying to load something up, but go ahead and read the article you have. What you were going to talk about.
Okay, well, it came across throughout Chicago on January 12th. The G8 NATO summit talks are coming here to Chicago from the 19th to the 22nd. Front page of the Chicago Sun-Times is G8 lockdown. They plan on locking down Chicago, so much of Chicago, because of all the summit leaders from all over the world will be here, including Obama. And most people here do not see this taking place because the mayor that is in office now has stated publicly that it was false, that they weren't going to do a lockdown. He's protecting himself because he doesn't want to put the city of Chicago at stake of, like, a panic of, oh, my God, where can we go? What can we do? But it's interesting because with past summit meetings in other cities, there was 35,000 in Seattle. I mean, they had mass problems with it. They expect a large amount of crowd here with a lot of problems.
Wow. You know, I just got a thing the other day, and it says Chicago cops are called predatory and abusive.
They are.
I know they are. I have a couple of my family members that are back there that are policemen, and the last time I talked to my cousin, he was down doing crowd control for Puerto Rican Day.
Well, yeah, because even I know that you haven't been back here in many years, but when they did it safe to Chicago, I mean,
yeah, 2006 was the last time I was there.
Right, but when they had the Taste of Chicago or big events, the police have to be there. The gang issues are always, you know, it comes into play. So, of course, here comes the badge, and, you know, they're cocky and they do what they have to do. Unfortunately, a lot of innocent people get hurt. So when it comes to this summit meeting that's upcoming this May, there's got to be friendly demonstrators, you know, and then you're going to have your angry ones because they're trying to say, hey, wake up, look and see what's going on here. And nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. And the ones
do. It's like right now, this lady has a federal lawsuit. And what she says is that a woman claims a Chicago cop sexually groped her during a punitive investigation, and when she complained, the other officers pressured her to withdraw the complaint and threw her in jail on bogus charges when she refused. Rwanda Moore defended officer Jason Wilson and his partner went to her home on July 6, 2010 in response to a previously reported domestic dispute. Her 21 says her then boyfriend allowed the officers into the home and went upstairs to the bedroom where she was located to interview her. The federal complaint contains, during this interview, Officer Wilson physically groped Ms. Moore's breasts and buttocks before leaving the room. Now, this is the kicker here. He just groped her, questioned her, and he wrote his home phone number on a piece of paper and told them to call him because they should hook up. She called the police department to report Officer Wilson's misconduct. At police headquarters, Moore said she met with the defendant, internal affairs investigators Richard Plackey and Louis Aleo. Instead of investigating her complaint and arresting Officer Wilson, IED investigators worked on to discourage Ms. Moore from filing the complaint, the complaint states. It continues, after Ms. Moore described the assault and inappropriate conduct by Officer Wilson, Plackey and Aleo sought to prevent Ms. Moore from proceeding with an official complaint against Officer Wilson. Ms. Moore asked the officers to be assigned to file her complaint. Lieutenant Plackey refused to assign new personnel. When she got up to leave the interview room, he closed the door and told her to sit down, and she was going, not going anywhere. While under reasonable suspicion that officers had committed a crime, were about to commit a crime, and were committing a crime against her, recorded the conversation, defendant officers on a BlackBerry, on her BlackBerry telephone. 4 minutes of recording, they attempted to convince not to drop or to drop the complaint. When the defendants, Plotkin and Leo, suspected that Ms. Moore's BlackBerry, which was sitting on the table between them, was recording their conversation, they stopped the conversation and arrested her. They wrongfully arrested and charged her with violating the Illinois eavesdropping statute. The statute, however, specifically exempts persons who record under reasonable suspicion that another party to the conversation is committing or is about to commit a criminal offense against the person, and there is reason to believe that evidence of the criminal offense may be obtained by recording. They knew that stopping Ms. Moore from leaving the interview room and attempting to prevent her filing from the complaint against Officer Wilson, they were committing a crime of unlawful restraint, of official misconduct, and were attempting to commit a crime for obstruction of justice. As a result, she spent over 2 weeks in Cook County Jail and was forced to spend a year fighting the baseless criminal charge. On August 25th, a jury in Cook County found Ms. Moore not guilty. She seeks punitive damages for constitutional violations, false arrest, and malicious prosecution. So they're still doing their shit back there, huh? They were doing that before I left.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe what takes place. I find it ridiculous, but, you know, it's not just here, it's everywhere. But, you know, they hide behind the badge, and that's what they use. You know, it's a power trip. But women get pulled over, and, you know, it could be something minor, you know, your muffler is too loud. You know, and then they get your information or something to that.
Well, when they tell me that, I ask them where the meter is.
Right. Well, you know, there's also a town just on the other side of me where there was a storefront break-in, okay? And the investigating officers told the storefront owner to not pursue the charges, to drop it, because they knew who the perp was, and they didn't want to do the paperwork.
Wow.
So, yeah, it goes on every day. It's the most corrupt state. Look at our governors.
Right. What made them choose Chicago for this summit?
I have no idea. They've been
Rahm Emanuel's in bed with Obama, man. They're best friends.
Yes, he is.
Now, he is an advisor.
He was
his right hand. He's the one that basically got, because he was with Clinton, and when this guy started making waves in the water, he got behind him, and he was part of help getting him elected. I mean, I'm still waiting for hope and change. I just see chaos and mayhem right now.
Oh, it's getting worse because. The Daily, you saw the video that I linked to your wall. The Daily family has been a name in this state for decades, you know. So, the person that did that one video that I posted to your wall was actually right. Normally, mayors will state why they are stepping down. He did not. When it came, his wife was ill for many years. Everybody knew that. So that wasn't a factor. But I do believe the person that stated what he did in the video was correct. Get the bed buddy from Obama in, you know, and have the summit meeting here. What makes sense? You got two, you know, cahooting into the same state that came from this state.
Yeah. And the bad part is that Chicago is known as the city that works.
Oh yeah.
I mean when I left Chicago September 13th, 1979, it was with a recruiter, a district attorney, my lawyer, and a judge in the back of the courtroom in the judge's chambers. And the first contract was made out for 3 years, and the judge said not long enough. The next contract was made out for 4 years, and he said still not long enough. The third contract was 6 years, and the comment was made that he hoped I got straight and narrow by then.
That's interesting. But that's how the system is here. It hasn't changed.
No.
It's gotten worse such a degree. It's crazy. You know, people are like, oh, it's such a nice town. Okay. Come and live here. You know, and see what it actually is all about. The ones that do pay attention and the political side of the state. They just gave Blagojevich 14 years. Did you see that?
No, I heard it, though.
Yeah, he got 14 years for his corrupt selling Obama's seat from the Senate. He sold his seat, you know, withheld information, everything else. You know, like I said, it's the most corrupt state. If there's other ones out there, I don't know about it because this is, you know, where I reside. So, of course, I'm going to pay more attention here, you know, because it is known.
Right. Well, Shirley says cops are a necessary evil. We have to have them. It's just over years we've lost too many personal rights because the bleeding hearts are killing us.
Yeah.
That's
right. Where are our rights? We don't have them. Where'd they go?
No.
You know, they left a long time ago. They say freedom of speech. It's gone. It's gone. And nobody gets that. Look at what they're doing to military funerals. There's so many things to list on what has been taken away. Why would the Supreme Court rule to, you know, demonstrate on a military burial?
Well, because they followed the First Amendment.
Right.
And then they gave them $2 or $3 million.
Right. But this is what I'm talking about. Our rights were taken. And no sooner did Obama go in. Where'd they go? Not that we didn't have issues prior. We did. But it's getting more enforced.
If you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Exactly. So, you know, our right in regards to, you know, come on, wake up, you know, and so many people are they're pacified and, oh, things are going to get better, the economy is going to get better. No, gas is almost $5 a gallon here. It's going up. Our taxes have increased since Daley stepped down. They're trying to get it passed to 14%. When you left here, we were at 6.7% tax, right around there. We're almost at 14% tax.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, I'm waiting. My house just got reassessed. I'm waiting to see what they're going to try and do to me now.
My house on a good market is valued at $300,000. Right now it's at $158,000.
Well, that's because Bush let all his buddies fuck us in the long run.
Well, everybody did. You know, each one had their own part to get to this point. Obama is just knifing us worse.
Yeah.
You know,
he inherited a lot of bullshit, too.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. It all leads up to now, you know, but he's not helping, you know.
No.
When you go into a grocery store and, you know, you could go into, you know, a lower class, if that's what you want to call it, in the grocery store. It's not a name brand like Jewel or something like that, where the food is cheaper and you can get more quantity. But the quantity of the food is smaller and you're paying more.
Yeah, because everything you buy at Walmart is made in China.
Exactly. How hard is it to find things that buy American made? It's very hard to find.
Yeah, there was a video out where there's people here that are making stuff, and this guy was a builder, and he made a deal with a bank. He said he would only buy American. And he could save $23,000 per house if he bought everything here. So the bank gave him the loan. He built 40-something houses, and they're making money off. So this guy, I think he's in Iowa, and he's starting to spread out. People are starting to follow his map to reality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you were back here, they had Ben Franklin stores. Now, I know that they're not nationwide, but they were always here in Illinois. Okay, the small Dollar General stores, okay, is what we would call them. They're gone.
Dominic's still there?
Dominic's is closed.
No more Dominic's, huh?
No, they closed them all. Because the prices, they were always overpriced. The quantity was good, but they were just overpriced. But like I said, the mom-pop stores, they don't exist. They haven't.
Shirley says that she shops at the cheap stores and the better stores, so which is the best? So I'll let you answer that.
The cheaper stores.
Yeah. She also said, how the fuck do you buy cheap food?
We have a store here called Aldi. I don't know if you guys have it there in California. But you can.
No, it's called Walmart here.
Oh, okay. Well, here we have, it's a grocery store. You have to bag your own food and stuff, you know. But it's called Aldi. You can type it up. Google it. And like I said, it's an amazing store. It's cheaper than going to, you know, Jewel, Walmart, you know, in regards to if you want to stock up on your can, your box food, your frozen food, that's the best place to go. When it comes to your regular meat, no, you have to go to a regular regular grocery store. It's their meat. Their fresh meat just isn't right. But you can go in to that store and get a gallon of milk for $1.99. Whereas you go into a regular grocery store here, it's $3.50 a gallon, if not more, depending upon the brand that you buy.
Right.
it is what it is, you know.
I didn't mean to laugh, but would you just wrote what I just left. Oh, you're talking about fresh and easy. We have fresh and easy. It's called fresh and easy out here.
You
bag your own
like
stuff.
That. Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay. Well, Shirley says we have a store where you have to fight the Mexicans to check out.
But in regards to getting back to the summit, you're going to have your main big bank people. Everybody's going to be there, you know. And why not protest against the banks? Look at what they're doing to us.
Right.
They're
You're absolutely right.
You know, you have a checking account. All of a sudden, say it's $35 if you accidentally overdraft your account. You know, they're constantly changing everything. Why do you think so many people want to pull out from banks, pull their money out? You're better at managing it yourself instead of having it in an account, unless it's necessary. You have to have one. You know,
right.
In regards to certain bills, you have no choice. When you have a mortgage, you got to have a bank account. But if it wasn't for that, you know, the banks are just a drain on the economy.
Yeah, you're right. I got people asking me if I'm still on the air, so yeah, I'm gonna type this out. But you're absolutely right. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, my bank, I've been there a long time, and I can't even, when I walk in there, I usually deal with one guy, but
right.
They move him around a lot. So I find myself going from bank to bank just to deal with that guy because he's a straight shooter with me. He gives me good advice here and there, and he's always taking care of me.
So like I said, in regards to someone, it's going to be huge. Demonstrators are coming from everywhere. It's going to be interesting to see how the city of Chicago handles this compared to how they were in 1968.
Well, I'm going to tell you about 1968. I was alive and well in 1968, and my pops worked for the city, and I remember that very well. I remember walking my mom down to the corner market, and fighting people off with the old 8-pack of Pepsi. I used 4 bottles to fight people off to get my mom back to the house.
Right.
And then my dad left, and I had gotten a bow and arrow And I was up on the outside my bedroom window on the roof watching my house while my dad was downtown opening sewers in fire hydrants to control the crowd.
Right. They won't be able to do that here. I mean, they had, you know, Michigan Avenue locked down in 2002 when they had the World Business Dialogue Conference.
Yeah.
Nobody
said.
I know,
says
he
that
says
she
loves so, it's not.
Says, I love this store, bury the money in the backyard, it's the Nora Show, and she banks in an all-woman bank.
No, she didn't know that we were going to talk about the summit that's taking place here.
But, no, I mean, and I really didn't want to say what I was going to talk about at first because of the simple fact that the one I opened up with was shooting cops, and I know they'd have been all over that one because they tried to jam it up and play my opening song four times.
Right. Like I said, anytime there's a summit, it's big news. But they're just trying to contain it and make it look like it's not anything big. But it will be. The people just don't see what's coming.
Well, no. It's like I said, they're sheeple in the media. Like it's like this. Two bikers can get in a bar fight, and four Marines can die in Afghanistan tonight. Say at 9 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, what will be the opener on the news?
I know.
What? Which one?
I'm sorry, what?
It's going to be the bar fight, hands down.
Exactly. It'll be the two bikers in a bar fight.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
And then the Marines, some happening in the Marines in Afghanistan will be about maybe the bottom
of
the hour.
A small little, yeah, or in the paper it's going to be a small little article. But the biker brawl will be a huge one-page, you know, deal.
Uh-huh.
That's how it always is.
Yeah. You know? I mean, so where do we go from here?
I know. Just like you and Bill talked last week. Wake up.
Yeah.
Nobody sees what's coming. Or they don't care.
So Shirley says she's going to bring her money to your area, Nora.
No, she said it will bring money to my area. Yeah, I guess by the time the Secret Service and they're, you know, let me see here in the paper because they're talking about how much it's going to cost for the Secret Service and everything else. They'll be here to lock down the city. $1.15 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so whose pocket is that going into? The banks already went to Congress and asked for their extension, and they all got it, and they still screwed up.
Yeah, it'll be coming out of mine in your pocket.
Exactly.
1.15. Do you know what we can do with that money?
we got somebody wants to chime in here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
403.
Yeah, how you doing, my man?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Not bad, brother. Yeah, that's your buddy there from Canada.
That's good. How you doing tonight?
Not bad, bro. Not bad. I don't know if you've seen my page at all. I'm in full remission from my cancer, so I'm very happy about that. Very pleased.
Oh, hell yeah. Right on.
9-year
right
battle,
on.
Man.
So have you heard what we said? What we were
yeah,
talking
about? Actually, yeah, I tuned in. I've got you on Facebook right now, and it's kind of delayed voice. But, yeah, no, I've been listening to you about talking about shooting cops and bar fights. And, yeah, definitely the bar fight would make the headlines. There's no doubt about that. I missed a part of the show, of course. I apologize for that, and I kind of lost track of time here.
No worries.
But, yeah, it's nice to be on the air again with you. And who are we all talking to out there today?
We've got Nora. Nora is in Chicago.
Hello,
Ryan's
Nora.
In Greeley, Colorado.
Hi, how are you?
Pleasure to meet you.
And We've got a couple of guys on the... Hang on, I'm going to... Go ahead, 978.
Yo.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, I want to say what you wanted to talk about for a minute, okay? We'll come back to you on that one, okay?
Go. Yep.
Okay. But, have you heard what we've been talking about, Pete?
Yes.
And what do you say about that? 1.1 how much was that, Nora? 1.1 billion?
1.15.
And what was
billion.
That for again? What was the money for?
That's for the lockdown that they're going to have to do for the G8 meeting here from May 19th to the 21st.
So, and what's that going to cost again?
$1.15 billion.
Why don't they take that $1.15 billion and help the citizens of the United States and the homeless vets and people
well,
in need
exactly.
rather than get fancy cars and security guards and whatever else, the hell else they use.
I agree with you, but guess
that's
what?
That's ridiculous.
Who
ridiculous.
Has to do the protection here? They're going to have the Secret Service. They're going to have military. They're going to have
$1 billion, though? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that all comes out of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, that's...
That's
you know,
why our taxes go up.
They got to look good. They got to have their $5,000 suits and their fancy
well,
cars and their guns and everything else.
They just sentenced our ex-governor to 14 years.
Wow.
This
they're
is
not
the
spending
most
the money
state.
On the right things in this country.
No.
No, they're not.
I see it every
not.
Day, bro. I see it every day.
No,
makes me sick. We all struggle, so we can grease their pockets and they can live nice and happy.
Well, you know, it's like George
Carlin made
today.
A good point. She says it's easy to spend money when it's not yours. That's true.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's a dime a dozen.
Yeah, that's a fact. If it's not yours, it's easy gone.
Oh.
But when it's yours, you got to do everything you can to protect it, hold on to it, so you can get through from day to day.
Well, yeah, like you owe the government any money, the IRS, they are on you like on white on rice.
Oh, I know.
But they owe you something. Well, you might as well stand in front of the IRS building with an MK-44 and you're not going to get much results
no,
other than going
still
to jail.
Won't win.
Other than that,
you still won't win. Exactly.
It's
well,
not
you know,
going to help you
know,
at all. Hate mail, whatever. They don't care, right. You know. The bank gets paid first, you get paid last, don't matter if single parent with three children, mortgage, your Harley payment, your toys, your livelihood, whatever. You'll lose your business, you'll lose everything. The bank
right.
gets paid first, government gets paid after, and you lose everything.
Exactly.
And it's the same
well, you know,
it's the same
you guys,
in Canada.
You guys hit that on the head. You guys hit that on the head, and... You know, I just want to, I'm going to play my little message here from Polonius Monk, and this is his rant to Obama, and I think you guys will enjoy this if you haven't heard it yet.
United States government, no, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized. All of these other things that we were concerned about, how can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook? A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen.
Which this week it's $15.3.
And you're the best and the brightest? Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. With the Norfolk State, bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Oh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills. don't do? You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
Yeah, that is one irate brother, man. Man, you can almost see him packing a Glock.
That's fine.
Exactly. But
now, where they're having the summit meeting is at the McCormick place. So they're going to have Interstate 55 and Lakeshore Drive shut down. We know this. That's going right into the city.
I was a kid, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, like I said, he worked for the city. And what we used to do was we'd go out to Navy Pier, which you can't do now, but we used to do it because one of my mom's uncles was a captain on a fireboat that's parked on the side there.
Right.
And we used to go out there and shoot in the ballroom, shoot guns in the ballroom, target practice.
Oh, the good old times, eh?
The good old times. The good old times.
Can't do it now.
No.
I can't do it now.
No. We used to shoot guns over at the lighthouse because I was raised in Windsor, Ontario, and we used to, Detroit's right across the river, and we broke into this place called Leo's Sport Job. I was young and stupid then. We stole a bunch of guns. And we were sitting at the pump house drinking beer. I was about 12 or 13. And we were just plugging away at the lighthouses towards Detroit, Michigan. Not one cop. Not one cop bothered us. They didn't care. But I'd do that today, boy. I'll tell you, you'd be in the pen real fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Because the last time we spoke, you guys were asking me about the laws about guns and knives, the length of the knife and what we can pack. And you were saying that, you know, at one time we used to walk around with a Bowie knife off your belt. Well, you can't do that no more. Can't do anything.
No, you can't do that no more in California either.
You were saying that. In the States, it's all different states. They legislate their own laws. They do not.
Well, what California did was, They gave every municipality their own option to write their own law.
It's the municipality, not the state itself.
No, all the way up and down the coast. Most of them are following the state statute, which says, I can, in fact, I can quote that for you. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
it is. Okay, it's on my blog. I'll put the link in there in a minute. But it's knife laws in California. Is it legal to carry one? So the section that I wrote was dealing with law enforcement with pack and steal. First thing, don't get nervous. If you read this, you're not going to be breaking any knife laws. California knife laws are actually pretty decent, better than most states, even the shell-issue gun permit ones. If you're nervous, the cop will read that and he won't know what to think, but the conversation will go downhill from there. If you're walking past the cop with a legally concealed knife, do not pat the knife to make sure the concealment is still effective. That's the number one way cops spot people packing guns legally. They'll think that that's what you're doing. The resulting conversation will... Any chance at all the guy is going to search you, politely declare you're carrying a pocket knife legal under the state law. Got that? You're carrying a pocket knife legal under the state law. Tell him where it is on you. Let him take control of it. Now, if you do not scare the dude with the badge and the gun, don't reach for nothing. Unless he tells you to do so at all times. Act like this is just a normal business transaction. So if he or she thinks your piece is illegal, you explain that the Cal knife laws have changed a bunch of times starting in 1997 and twice more that you know of, so you're not terribly surprised there's confusion. Commonly explain as much as the relevant penal codes as you can recall. If you're into big folders, PC 655 or 653K and a bit in 1220, 12, or 12020 and not readily available if concealed in a closed position is a start. Let me ask for a supervisor. If he wants to confiscate your knife, Pete, if anything about that will mean you'll get a ticket too or an arrest, stand your ground and calmly ask for the receipt. He's bluffing because he wants your knife. Sorry if any cops reading this are offended, but I don't give a fuck. I've met enough people it's happened to be a believer, although it hasn't happened to me. Well, when I wrote this, it didn't happen to me yet, but it did. I asked for a receipt, and he thought I shot Kennedy. They came out of the woodwork. He called for backup and everything. Next thing I know, I'm handcuffed on the curb, but I walked away with my knife. If he plain just takes it without a receipt, get his badge number and a car number. If the latter is all you can get, record the time. If it was a city or a county cop, make a theft complaint in detail with your nearest California Highway Patrol station. They investigate local wrongdoing. If it wasn't CHP, complain to CHP supervisors maybe, or the sheriff, but for God's sake, don't let them off clean. If you had to threaten an assailant with a drawn blade, you have two choices. Get the hell out of there as soon as possible and travel far and fast, because odds are crooks that get chased off by an armed citizen love to file. He threatened me, complain, and bust you. Bug out. Note, we're talking about a situation in which you haven't committed a crime, and since no actual violence occurred or neither did anybody else, so fleeing the scene rules don't really apply. And you also don't want the SOB coming back with reinforcements or heavy artillery. Time to go. And I've seen that happen already. Because the crook knows where you are or who you are or have your car's license number or bike plate number, jump on 911 and report an attempted crime pronto. Too many lazy cops that just believe the first complainant. Make yours first. You'll probably have one major advantage. The crook will have a violent record and you won't. If you actually had to draw blood in defense when the cops show up, there are only three things you should say. One, I was in fear for my life. I'm too shaken to talk. I want a lawyer. If there are witnesses that you know of, point them out to the cops and tell the cops to talk to them. Because that's what, when Bertie Goetz shot all those guys on the train, he was furious, and the four attempted murders, he made the anger plain in a long discussion down at the station, and he ended up getting charged with murder and attempted murder when it was absolutely clear-cut self-defense. So like Bill says, shut up. When cops get involved in a shooting, they understand it immediately afterwards. He's too shaken to explain clearly what happened. So most of them give him 24 hours to settle down before talking to him. But if you're involved in lethal force, some will take advantage of your rattled state to pry garbled statements out of you. You have the right to remain silent. Use it. I'm assuming here that if you drew your or used your steel, you had a damn good reason. That's a subject for much more detail, not to mention professional treatment. But in where I'm at, they follow the city code. It's called Oceanside City Code 2010, Section 2010, Weapons, Possession in Public, Prohibited. No person shall be or appear in any street, alley, sidewalk, parkway, or public place or place open to the public while carrying upon his person or having in his immediate possession any dangerous or deadly weapon. This section shall not be construed to duplicate prohibitions of the California state statute or to prohibit the possession of weapons expressly authorized by the California state statute. So they follow that. So basically, when those guys did that to me, I went down to the police station and I talked to everybody there, and I got the... Those guys use a Gerber, and it has a serrated edge in the middle. And they use that to cut off seat belts in car accidents. That's why they carry them. So that's what I carry, and that's what I've told everybody to get and carry. And there's no problems now. Unless it happens to be one of my fellow brothers who always like to carry them hog stickers. And I had a talk with them, and they said, well, they just take it, they throw in the dirt, and tell me to get it after they leave. Well, now they're not doing that. They charge some of them with a felony.
How long is the Gerber, may I ask?
4 inches.
4 inches. So in California, that is the legal length. That is the blade itself. That's not including the handle.
No, that's the blade. But that's in my town. That's where it's legal to carry in my town. Now, the next town over, which is Carlsbad or Vista, different.
Not allowed to carry
anything. You're taking your chances. Anywhere you go in California, you're taking your chances. Now, if you're running around with one of those 10-inch hog stickers hanging off your belt in plain view, it's a felony now.
Is that right? It doesn't have to be concealed. If it's just on your belt, everybody can see it, it's illegal.
It's illegal.
Unbelievable. See, that same with Canada, like I was explaining to you last time I was on the show, it's a 4-inch limit out here, too. But if it's concealed even underneath your T-shirt, it's a concealed weapon. You are charged automatically. They take it from you. You have to go to court and battle your way in and out of court. And then if they find you not guilty, your life is threatened, the guy's following you in the car behind, whatever the case may be, you have to fight to get that knife back. And it happened to me, and it took me 4 months to get my knife back. Even my attorney went over there. Oh, well, we lost it. We don't know where it is. Well, I advise you to find it. The man was found not guilty. Give him his knife back. It took me 4 months to get it back.
Yeah, and it's like they happened to grab me one night at gunpoint to take my helmet because this guy thought he had the right to take it, and then he found out he didn't. And then
gunpoint.
At gunpoint, brother.
Oh,
in front
Lord.
Of the movie theater.
Was it an illegal Scully?
Was it DOT approved? This guy was the guy I got taken off his motorcycle because he wrote 132 tickets, and we beat every one of them.
Unbelievable. Talk about communism. People think that there's no communism in Canada or the States. People are dreaming. It is in your back pocket, people. Communism is everywhere. And it's run by the government, and they're going to keep pushing it on you. And people have to start fighting this because, we're going to be told, like last time we were on the show, you were saying that they were trying to tap into your show. And I don't know if they ever succeeded after last time we spoke, but hopefully they're getting off your back.
They're doing it right now? Yeah.
Well, if they're listening, this is from Canada, and I don't much fucking like you, okay? You know, you want my address, you can send me some hate mail at Christmas. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the right to speak. You have a radio station that is known around the world, and these people are tapping into your lines. That is bullshit.
Yeah, and it's really funny that you say that because I have a song that I think is appropriate, and this is done by my friend Mike P out of San Fernando Valley.
I know it.
Yeah, actually, I heard it too, but go ahead, man.
I love that tune.
So I'm gonna take a short break, let you guys listen to this. I'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Don't play me, dig.
Okay, I had to reload, got a Gatorade, ready to go. Hey, Pete, you want to tell us that story about your adventure today?
Yeah. Just a good example of the bullshit in this, with the police and the feds. We, I'm looking for a car. I'm trying to buy a used car, second car. And we went out to look at a few, and I didn't really find anything that... I found a really nice Mercedes, actually. But the radio didn't work in it, and the power locks were broken. But anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't end up buying anything. So we were coming home from the city of Worcester, and I was with Gino and my brother, and Gino took an exit. He took the long way, and I said, why are you taking the exit? Why are you taking the back roads? And he says, to avoid the state police. They are mocked. They know my car, you know. I said, okay. So as soon as we get off the exit, there's a state trooper sitting there. And he followed us for quite a few miles. And, I mean, he stayed probably a quarter of a mile back of us. He was just watching us, you know, observing his driving. Gino wasn't really speeding. So we're going to get pulled over. He's going to pull us over. He actually didn't pull us over. We turned off. He went by us. But we were driving Gino's mother's car, and the plate comes back to her, so maybe he thought, the cop thought it was like an old lady driving the car or something, I don't know. But anyway, so we got past that cop, and we jumped back on the highway, and we went through what they call Fort Devens, which is an old fort out here in Massachusetts. It's now called Devens, but they have what they call Department of Defense Police. Federal police, and they patrol Devens, and Devens is huge. I mean, they have property, government property, and they have blue lights and cruisers and guns and arrest powers and all that, but you never see them stopping anybody or arresting anybody. They're basically security guards with guns. One of them pulled onto the highway, which is they're not supposed to be patrolling the highway, these federal police. Department of Defense of Police. They're supposed to stay on the government property and do their rounds and whatnot. Anyway, they come out onto the highway. Gino's doing, you know, flying down the left lane. This Chevy Impala with blue lights pulls out, didn't turn the lights on. And I told him, I said, that's the federal police. I said, you better be careful because they're going to follow us. And as soon as we get on their property, the government property, they're going to pull us over. No, screw them, don't worry about it. They're like campus cops, you know, they're security, they can't do anything. I said, okay. I mean, this guy literally followed us for 10 miles, 12 miles. We got onto the Fort Devens property. He followed us all the way through Fort Devens. We were still in the town of Devens. We pulled into a Cumberland Farms to get a pack of cigarettes for my brother. And this guy puts the blue lights on. I mean, literally, we're parked in a parking spot. And he puts the blue lights on, the spotlights, gets out, gets his hand on his gun. He didn't get out right away. He waited for the locals to back him up. Because I live in a small town, and, like, you know, everybody backs everybody up here. The federal cop walks up to the door, and Gino is sitting, and, you know, he's a big dude, and he's got tattoos, and he's got his patches on and all that from his Christian club that he's in. It looks intimidating. My brother's in the back seat. I'm in the front seat. We all got leather jackets on, long hair, you know. Cop walks up to the window. Gino goes to get out, and the cop backs off, sees him, and says, stay in your vehicle, sir. We're sitting there about 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, just sitting there. Blue lights are still on us. Spotlights are on us. I said, he's calling for backup. Next thing you know, local police are surrounding the car, hands on the guns, everything. Now, we're not doing anything. We haven't done anything wrong. None of us have warrants, none of us have weapons, none of us have drugs, nothing. The federal cop walks back up to the window. He asks Gino for his license and registration, asks him to step to the rear of the vehicle. Then he gives him a speech about 7 years. He told Gino, he said, you have 7 years of speeding, you know, on your history. And Gino says, well, you know, I don't even know what he told him. But I stuck my head out the window and I said to one of the sergeants from the real police department that was there backing them up, I said, you know, this is bullshit. Hey, we're minding our business. I said, honestly, I said, if you're going to write him a ticket, give me the ticket. Because he was trying to get us back in time so I could go to work. and he was speeding. Yes, he was speeding. I said, but he was speeding to get me home in time. So if you're going to give him a ticket, give him a ticket. I said, furthermore, since when does the Department of Defense Police stop people with blue lights and hands on the guns and all that? I said, this guy's going to be a rookie. And the sergeant from the local town was like, he kind of rolled his eyes like he agreed with me. But they made this huge scene. I mean, it's a small town, so everybody was looking out, taking pictures, you know, on their phone call. You know, you're not going to believe you get three bikers down here, and, you know, they get the federal police down here and the locals. And after a bunch of bullshit and a lecture from the federal cop, he let us go. But, you know, it's a good example of, you know, how the police and the feds target people. You know, the whole traffic stop was bogus. You know, there was no need for it. Furthermore, the guy was out of his jurisdiction because we pulled into a private parking lot owned by Cumberland Farms, the little store Cumberland Farms, and he put his blue lights on when we were already stopped in a parking spot, and then decides to put the blue lights on and ask for license and registration. So I just thought the whole thing was bullshit, and I just wanted to share that story because, you know, I was getting ready to make a complaint with the guy's supervisor because he was way out of his jurisdiction. You know, the Department of Defense police out here are like campus police. They stay at Fort Devens. They check buildings, stuff like that. They do have guns. They do have blue lights. They have arrest powers. I asked the police officer, the sergeant, three times if they have what they call Chapter 90 powers in Massachusetts, which are traffic powers. You know, can they write tickets? Can they pull cars over? And I didn't get an answer from him. He kind of ignored me. So I'm guessing they don't have Chapter 90. I don't know. But the whole thing was ridiculous because, you know, they had spotlights on us and flashlights, hands on the guns. And when it was all said and done, I went into the store. I got my brother a pack of cigarettes, and there was a guy in line, long-haired guy, and he says, "That's absolute bullshit out there." And he says, "I saw the whole thing." You know, he says, "They obviously pulled you guys over because of the way you look. You know, you got long hair, and you got big guys with tattoos and long hair and patches on, all that." I says, "It is bullshit, you know." And I said, "But we're used to it." So I got to say, that's the first time, and Gino, too, as many times as he's been pulled over. He's 65 years old. He's been pulled over a lot of times. And I've been pulled over a lot of times, and my brother's been pulled over a lot of times. That's the first time that I've ever been pulled over by a federal officer.
Yeah,
I got pulled over by those guys on I-5 going to work.
But it's different there, you know, Philip. Like, it's different, like you know, they have, like, in Washington, they have the FBI, they have the police department, and the Secret Service can pull you over, the FBI can pull you over. Here it's different. You never see that. The guy had to be a rookie. I can tell you, when Gino got out of the car and he saw how big he was, okay, his face turned completely white. He was, like, shitting bricks, you know, and it was just the whole traffic stop was bullshit. We weren't bothering anybody. Gino was speeding. But like I said, man, that's the first time ever I've ever been stopped by a DOD, Department of Defense Police, or a federal officer. I've never been stopped by a federal officer or Department of Defense or anything like that. To me,
yeah,
it was a joke. It was an absolute joke. It really was. I was laughing. And actually, the local cops were, like, you know, standing there, and I'm like, oh, they must have to be here when they do a stop because, I mean, they stopped us in a private parking lot, you know. So.
Yeah, but you know why the local cops are pissed?
Because
they have to, they're above them. They don't have
right,
to answer to them.
I know. That's exactly why.
Well, they target the brothers. I mean, in Canada here, we have bylaw officers, and it's basically exactly what the brother just described, the blue lights, a whole shebang. These guys can pull you over and ask you for some ID if you're speeding, but other than that, they cannot do anything. But out here in the small town, I live in the mountains here in Canada, in the Rockies, just on the border of British Columbia. I'm in Alberta, and that's happened to me. And this guy here, hand on the gun, the whole shebang, phoned the big backup, which is a highway patrol, the RCMP, and this guy did not have the right to turn on his lights, didn't have the right to do anything. He does not have that power.
Well, it sounds like a very similar story, bro. It sounds exactly what we went through. It sounds like
exactly
the same exact
and me, I mean, I've got hair all the way down to my belt, and I've got my tattoos, and they know I ride, and they just targeted me like I was, you know, one of the major clubbers. You know,
I mean, the guy that I was with, the driver, he's an ex-1%er, but he's in a Christian club now, and he had his vest on. And the cop saw that, and he's in the Seat of Abraham. It's a Christian club. And the cop saw that, and he was like, you know, I mean, even more, like, you know, hand on the gun, calling for backup. I'm like, oh, my God. Goes to show that no matter what patch you wear, whether it's a red and white patch or a Christian patch or whatever, these guys just automatically think that you're, like, you know, bad news, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And it's bullshit.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. You could be a religious writer. You can be an HA. You can be whatever you want, or just an independent.
So we made a joke about it. I said the Geno. I said, Phil, I said the Geno. It says, well, now you can say you've been officially stopped by a security guard. You know, that's what they are. You know,
and in the States, they cannot they cannot touch you on a private property.
Yeah, and it was private property too. It was a convenient.
Well, you know what I did. I was going with the flow of traffic. I was doing about 80. 4 o'clock in the morning, there's maybe 10 cars around me. And when I got on a freeway, I seen them get on the next exit from where I got on. And all of a sudden, they come up on me like stink on shit. Well, at the next exit is the highway patrol. So I got off, and I beelined it to the highway patrol. So when I got out, I parked the bike, I got off, I ran up on the door, and I started knocking on the door. The guy comes out, he goes, what's up? I said, hey, I don't know who these two guys are. They jump out in uniform, look like fucking stormtroopers, and the one guy grabs for his gun and says, get on the ground. And I'm like, get on the ground for what? I didn't do anything. And the guy says, the guy behind the glass, he's trying to get his keys to open the door. He gets the door open. He says, come inside. So I'm inside. He goes outside to talk to them. He comes back in and he says, they just want to talk to you. I said, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't want to talk to him. I don't have to talk to him. I said, this guy was a sergeant. I said, where's your boss? I want to talk to your boss. I'm asking for somebody higher than you, the watch commander, lieutenant, whoever's in charge right now. That guy was down at the IHOP a half a block away having coffee and breakfast. They get him on the radio. He comes down there, and he comes in, and he says, hey, you seem excited. Sit down and relax. I said, wait. There's four guys here now with guns. I don't know what's going on. I didn't do anything. I was going to work. And so he goes outside. He comes back. He says, well, they said that you look suspicious wearing all black on a black motorcycle with a face shield, and you can't see your face. I said, well, that's the way I ride. So I go outside, and I'm still wearing my helmet. I'm talking to the guy through my visor, which I haven't opened yet. I get outside, and the guy says, take off your helmet. I said, I refuse to take off my helmet. I have rights. I'm not taking off my helmet.
That's right.
The guy says, I told you to take off your helmet, or we're going to take it off. I'm like, hey, nobody taking nothing off me. So I said, I opened the visor. I'm wearing yellow sunglasses. He says, I can't see your face. I said, all right. So I flipped up the front. He said, I told you to take your helmet off. I said, no, you just said you can't see my face. And the lieutenant chimes in, well, now you can see his face. Is that the guy you're looking for? No. Okay. You wait. You go back inside and sit down. I'll be in there to talk to you in a minute. He goes outside. He comes back. He says, those guys are going to leave. He said, which way do you go to work? I said, south on 5. He said, well, I don't know which way they're going, and they might pull you over again on the way down. So I took the coast all the way down. I guess they didn't know the Oceanside area, so I took a couple of back roads and got out the other way and went all the way around to 78 and down 5 the other way, but I went to the coast.
And of course, you never got no explanation on why they did this?
Nothing.
Unfucking real.
Nothing.
I mean, we felt like we were being pulled over by mall security today, you know? I mean, it was funny. It was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, I have respect, you know, for military, obviously, and these are DOD police officers, you know, which probably, the guy was probably ex-military, but give me a break. I mean, playing cop, I mean, on the streets, and you're right, you know, the locals, I think they were angry because they had stopped us. I mean, that's their job. That's not their job, you know. Their job is to patrol Fort Devens and the properties, not to pull three guys over that look suspicious. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, they just wanted to make a show, hopefully make the
Absolutely.
Newspapers and say, you know
yeah.
what, we got this guy pulled over here, we're doing
I mean,
the
they
job.
Let us stop like a Christmas tree. They had spotlights and blue lights and everything on us, man. They hit
yeah.
the siren, the air horn. We were like, what the hell, we're getting pulled over by DOD? You gotta be kidding me. That's my first experience with
them. They have the, wherever they're at, they have the authority. I found that out. But the one thing I did was they didn't have a plate on the car. It just says U.S. government.
Yep, that's what these guys have. They have the U.S. government plate, the G plate.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have a G or nothing. It just said U.S. government on top of it. That was it. No numbers
Canada,
on the car.
If they decide to pull you over for nothing, they use the line probable cause. And I don't know if they use that in the States, but probable cause is, well, you look suspicious. We think you might be a drug runner. You know, there's no proof whatsoever. They'll get the sniffing dogs out there. They'll go through your vehicle. I've had friends that had their vehicles torn apart on the side of the road for finding a rote in an ashtray. And
yeah,
they don't put it back together,
now.
Believe you me, guys. they tow it away, and then you're stuck rebuilding your vehicle. They don't give you time for it. Nothing.
Check this out. I had $5,000 in my pocket to buy a used car. So how does that look? You know, and I said to Gino, my brother, says, they're going to take my $5,000. They're going to think that we're out to buy drugs or something, or we're up to something. You know, we just robbed somebody, and it was innocent. It was money to buy a car, you know. And
he threw it in my pocket.
But they didn't have us get out. They just had us stay in the car, and they had the driver get out, and they just had guns on us, you know, and it was like, shh.
Well, of course, they're not going to believe the fact that you have that kind of cash in your pocket to go buy a vehicle.
That's all it was, or something.
We
were out car shopping. That was it. Innocent. You know, three friends out car shopping. You know.
Today on my blog, I posted it called Rules of Engagement. And what I'll do is I'll put the one you can look for. It's on today's, and I'll give you the address to the blog. And okay. All aesthetic. Is that you, Pete? Sit still.
No, it's not me.
Okay. The first rule, the second rule, the third rule, the fourth rule, the fifth rule, the sixth rule, the seventh rule. These are the rules. These rules not only apply to the police, they apply to any government agent that decides to interfere in your life. If Child Protective Services comes to your door and demands to speak to your children or inspect your home, tell them to leave unless they have a warrant. In fact, feel free to be a little more rude to them and tell them than the cops, since they don't have any arrest powers. Also, general rules apply to almost any situation. So it's the categories is your rights under the U.S. Constitution.
They don't need a search warrant.
Right.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. You guys are being run over, man. The government is running you guys over severely. Because out here, they can knock at your door and say, hey, may we come in? And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, you got a search warrant? No, we don't. Well, get the fuck off my property. And they have to leave. They don't
Canada
have
is
no
pretty,
power.
Canada is very strict on bikers.
Oh, they are. Most
I can't
definitely.
Believe the shit out there. I realize from what I've seen on the news and what I've read. You know, I mean, they're strict here, too, obviously, but Canada was really, I mean, the Royal Mounted Canadian Police, or whatever the hell they're called, they really bust balls, I heard.
Yeah, they are. They're, you know, they were fairly good, easygoing people at one time, but now they have this godlike power that they apply on you, and they think that you don't know the law. Well, my father was a policeman for 30 years, and I was born in Paris, France, and he worked for Interpol in Rome. So I'll tell you, when I get pulled over and I throw that in their face, it shuts them up real fast. Because there's a lot of ignorant people, you know.
Yeah.
Americans, Japanese, no matter what. If you don't know the law, they're going to know right away just by the way you look, just by the way you react, and they're going to run over you, man. It's unbelievable. And like you say, I mean, you wrote in Canada, you just said it yourself, and they are assholes, and they're carrying a bigger stick than they can handle. And then they wonder why they get shot. There was three policemen that got shot here a month and a half ago in Lethbridge, Alberta, just for pulling this guy over. And he got pulled over and got pulled over, and he was harassed and he was harassed, and he got drunk, and he happened to be packing, and he spun a gear and dropped three of them. Shot three of them right on the highway.
I had a friend that got to the Canadian border with his wife just going to see the sights on vacation. The Royal Mounted Canadian Police saw that he had a red and white support sticker on his air filter, and they told him to turn around and go back to the United States so he wasn't getting into Canada.
Yeah, I believe that. That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
No, that's a true story, too.
You have any support stickers of any kind at all, and I'll tell you, they mark you down big time. And I am I'm a heavy supporter of the brothers, always have been, and, you know, that is my right to do so. We do a lot of good. The club does a lot of good. We raise a lot of money, Right for Sight, Toys for Tots, you name it. That never makes the newspapers.
Yeah.
The clubbers are no good. They do nothing but no good. But we raise
millions. Like I told you, it could be a bar fight and four guys dying in Afghanistan for the 11 o'clock news, and you'll hear about the bar fight first.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because like we call it brownie points. The cops have to have so many tickets issued per month or per year per capita. And if they don't reach that quota, well, you know, they get looked down at by the other policemen. So once that end of the month comes, they have to issue so many speeding tickets, helmet tickets, seatbelt tickets, you name it. So they're all at war. They pull everybody over just to make a big show out of everything.
That's the quota.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got to meet their quota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you talk to them, there's no such quota.
That's what we call it here. Oh,
yeah, but if you talk to them, there's no such thing as a quota.
Yeah,
see,
they got to meet their quota. We call them brownie points, eh? For brownie.
I call it being a cocksucker, but in New York, just a couple months ago, there was a guy, he happened to be a black policeman who was told that if he didn't make his quota, they were going to transfer him to a more dangerous area.
Oh, they do. They actually threaten the policemen to do this, because if they don't do it, yeah, they get their transfer. I mean, you want to go and work in Alaska somewhere, you know, where it's nice and cold, or you want to stay in Florida somewhere where it's nice and warm? Well, the guy's going to be issuing a lot of tickets, you know that, eh?
Well, you know, like right here in California, there's the Supreme Court ruled in the case of Cohen versus California 403 in 1971 that the individuals have the constitutional right under the First Amendment to wear clothing which displays writing or designs. In addition, the right of an individual to freedom of association has long been recognized and protected by the United States Supreme Court. Thus, a person's right to wear the clothing of his choice as well as his right to belong to any club or organization of his choice is constitutionally protected. And persons or establishments who discriminate on the basis of clothing or club membership are subject to a lawsuit. Don't subject yourself to civilian or criminal penalties and to expensive and time-consuming lawsuits. Don't discriminate against people wearing clothes or motorcycle attire.
True enough, but like say, well, I'm not going to mention a club, but a specific club, off the top of my head here, if they've ever been charged under the RICO Act and you wear any of them colors, they will just throw that law right out the door because they've been through the court system. They've been charged
with illegal clubs out here, which I won't mention the name. But they also got all their stuff back. You give it back to them.
Yeah, no, they will, yeah. But they will attack you in court. They'll drag your ass in court and make a big scene out of it. And you will get your stuff back, but it's just to make the scene. Just to say, listen, we're controlling you, and that's all there is to it. You are owned by the man. The government controls you. They tell you when to piss. They tell you when to shit. They tell you how many shit tickets to use to wipe your ass. And that's what they do. They'll make the big scene, and they know they're going to lose in court eventually, but they make that scene just to make themselves feel bigger.
Yeah, and the problem is that we let them get away with it.
Exactly.
Or aren't there certain parts of Canada where you can't even wear support gear? You get arrested.
That's a fact.
They also have where if you ship support in or out, you can be arrested.
That's ridiculous.
No, yeah, it is. It's severe. Like, I mean, the Canadian laws are getting really, really nasty. I mean, I'm 51 years of age. I've been around clubbers since I was 11 years of age, and I've seen it grow. I've seen it fall. I've seen it grow back, and then the cops come in. We have our own Canadian feds, if you will. They're not considered feds in the sense like the states, but your version of the FBI and stuff like that. We don't have that here, like FBI, but it's a hidden government. Let's just put it that way. You don't see them coming.
It's like Australia. You know, they don't have a Bill of Rights like we do. Canada has one, but not as good as ours, and that's why figure out here how to do it to us. That's why we're losing some of them by the day.
Yeah, the government, the laws in the States and in Canada is hell in a basket, man. It's just waiting to open up on you at any time. I mean, you got the wrong helmet, they pull you over. A buddy of mine, just last summer, he had a little scully on, which is illegal out here, unless it's DOT approved, of course. One policeman pulled him over. He phoned in four units, four cars to back him up. So here's this guy with his old woman on the back, four police officers. Two had their guns drawn over a helmet. Like, talk about abuse of the system. That is ridiculous. And like I said, they wonder why their lives are being threatened. And they are threatened constantly out here. I mean, the Canadian people are getting really tired of all this, and it's going to get nasty. In the next 10 years, man, it's going to be open season on cops. And like I said, I'm sure they're listening in. That's no problem, because it's reality. It's a fact. If they get off our backs, they'd probably have a lot safer job.
Yeah, but they'll never do it.
They'll never do it, exactly. You know, it's wishful thinking, but we've all thought about it at one time or another. I wish I had a baseball bat, you son of a bitch. You'd be getting one right across the jawline. But, you're not going to be doing that, because you're going to be doing some heavy time, and they're going to make an example out of you, trust you me.
Yeah. And the sad part is, like, I'll tell you a story about one of my friends. He got arrested for a knife, and they told him it was illegal, and it happens to be a prestigious knife company. That company flew in their attorneys and represented him for free, because they would have lost millions selling worldwide if their knives were claimed to be illegal.
And it was not illegal.
Nope. They said it was.
He was wearing it on his belt. It wasn't concealed.
I don't remember that part of the story, but all I know is he was a patch member, and they got him for the knife.
And he beat the court case?
The owner of the company flew his attorneys down and represented him for free.
Fantastic. Good for him. Good for the company.
True story.
Yeah, you got to respect guys like that, man. Right on. But, I mean, not everybody gets that kind of representation.
No. That's the sad part.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a law that applies to a clubber should apply to everybody, a politician, whatever. I mean, it's just they pick you out of a lineup or something, and they just say, you know what, I don't like this guy. We're going to hit him with everything we got. This guy next to him, I like that guy. He's got short hair, seems well-educated. We'll leave him alone. The long-haired guy, yeah, well, I got 6 years of university. I speak five languages. Don't mark me, sir, because my IQ is a little higher than yours. You know, you want an IQ test? I'll beat you. But
And that's the sad part.
It is. I mean, you're a well-educated man. Everybody on the panel here, I guarantee, are not a bunch of idiots. But we get picked on, and as soon as you turn your back, man, you can't turn your back on these guys, the feds, the police, nobody. You can't turn your back for 2 seconds because you're giving them it's just like a pit bull. You give him an inch, he wants a foot. You give him a foot, he wants 10 feet. Well, the cops act the same goddamn way. They're almost like doctors. They have that the god fetish kind of thing going on, the god power in their hand. Why? Because you're packing a gun and then you got a badge. You think you own everybody and you can control everybody. That's what they're doing. I mean, they're not that far off from the SS.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's what it is, you know. It's like, you know, people are saying, like Shirley says, that you can send to Canada, and somebody said, no, you can't, and on. But anything that goes through the mail, they can't stop the mail.
No, see, I was misinformed. I was misinformed by a statement stating to me that, like, if I send something, anything support across the border, I could be arrested.
You can. It's actually, you'll get charged for propaganda. Hate mail. That's basically what it's called out here. You're supporting a club that is not well-liked. You know, they're not respected. They're not well-loved. They're troublemakers. They're this and that. You know, you don't have to wear a patch to be a troublemaker. But they mark the brothers. You wear a patch, you're no good for fuck all. Well, that is so far from the truth. I mean, there's bad asses, there's bad apples in every bushel. But I'll tell you, these guys, I've seen the brothers do more good than bad. You know, and I'm not just saying that because I know the brothers, but I mean,
nobody here right now is a choir boy or a choir girl. We've all got skeletons in our closet.
Exactly.
I've seen things. I've seen all kinds of things, and I'm here to tell you, everybody has to do what they need to do. Sorry.
Exactly. There was this cop 3 months ago in Calgary, Alberta. Here, he got caught. And he was under surveillance by what they call the cyber cops. They check out the computers and stuff for pedophiles and trying to pick up young girls. Well, this guy was after this young girl, 13-year-old girl, for 5.5 months, telling her that he was 16 years of age, and he actually had his son speak for him, and they actually tracked this guy down right in his home, pulled out 5 computers out of his basement. They had pictures of this girl, her address, phone number, the parents' address, everything. This guy was ready to pounce on a 13-year-old girl. This is an RCMP, the men that we're supposed to trust, the men that talk at schools.
I saw that article. I think I posted it, too.
It's a sick thing, man, you know, because they talk in schools. They talk when we went to school. I'm sure you had policemen talk when you went to school, in grade school, high school, whatever. Oh, yeah, you can trust us. We're there for you. You ever need us, we're here to help. My ass, you're here to help. They are the biggest criminals on the planet, man, because they can get away with everything.
Well, I have a special caller that I just unmuted. Shirley, are you there?
I'm here.
Shirley's calling.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Nora.
Hi, Shirley.
Hello, Shirley.
Hello,
Hi,
Shirley.
Hi, everybody.
We're all getting in.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I just got a few things to say about this mail in Canada. For 11 years, I've been shipping stuff to Canada. Nobody arrested me yet, and they haven't arrested anybody on the other end. Now, when you wear that stuff in Canada or you put those stickers all over the bikes or cars, then that's their problem. That's not mine. But nobody so far has come to my door, knocked on my door, at least not about anything being mailed to Canada.
If it's just patches and stuff like that, the chances
are... No, I send shirts, I send patches, I send knives, I send hammers.
Well, you are one lucky...
I have done all of the support stuff.
Yeah, you're a very lucky person because I'll tell you, when it comes to Canada, they are X-raying every package possible now.
Well, they're not returning it. They're not arresting me, and it's getting where it's going. So I don't know what the problem is. I do know that they got one lousy mail service there, and they're always on strike around Christmas.
Oh, yes, most definitely, yeah.
And as far as the cops up there being nasty, they're no nastier than here. And as far as the cops going to school or hitting on girls, men are men. I don't care where the hell they are.
Yeah, but you're supposed to trust the police.
You're supposed
raised
to trust
that
fathers
way.
And priests and Boy Scouts and all them people, too. But you know what? You can't.
Well, true enough. I mean, I'm not just saying it's the cops that are doing this. There's pedophiles everywhere. There's sick bunch of people out there.
There are a bunch of sick people everywhere, even on Facebook. If there's
yes,
one
sir.
Thing I don't like worse than the cops on the street, it's the Facebook cops. And we got a lot of sneaky-ass people on Facebook just looking all over the place to start trouble. And they do it, too.
You're
gonna
oh, yeah.
My daughter was targeted on Facebook, a 43-year-old man. And I happened to be looking over the top of her shoulder, and I was asking her who she was always chatting with. And, oh, he's a 19-year-old guy and this and that and the other thing. And I says, well, why don't you set up a date with this guy? And it was me and a few of my brothers, and we met up with this guy, and he was in his 40s. Well, I'll tell you, there was not a whole lot left of that man when we were done with him, okay?
Well, that's the way it should be. Parents are supposed to watch out after their kids. It's parents that are too busy living their own lives and don't have time to take care of the kids, and that's where the trouble comes in. You know, you have kids. It's your job to take care of them, to feed them, to house them.
And raise them right.
Exactly.
Well,
raising
them right just depends on what one's opinion of right is.
Yeah.
You know,
to the best of all that we can in our abilities.
I raised two great kids by myself. My wife passed away 3 months after she gave birth to my daughter. So I was a single dad. And like I said, I mean, I hung around with clubbers all my life. So I knew what to look for. And I'll tell you, I didn't overprotect my children. But I knew which doors to lock and which ones to open, and I did my job really well, and I'm quite proud of myself, to be honest with you.
Well,
and
my husband and I have raised one daughter and four boys and a bunch of grandkids, and I'm real proud of all of them. And a couple of my sons are single dads, and they're doing a real good job of raising their daughters. So it depends on how you're raising them. You know, we're not upper class. I've been around the bikers almost all of my life. Ever since Sonny got in the club back, God, what, 50-something years ago. My kids have been around that. They've been to the parties in Oakland. They've been all over the place. And yet, none of my kids are in the club. One is in the Red Devils, but none of the rest are in the club. They're all good kids. They all got good educations. They all got good grades. And they all have the most respect for all bikers.
Good for them. Good
so,
for them.
But now, if you ask them about a cop, I'm sorry. I think I did influence them because none of them like the cops.
Well, you definitely did a good job there.
Thank you. Well,
yeah, because I mean, my
here.
Son was well. It was the Reapers at the time before the patch over in '97 here, and the Reapers just love my son, eh? And my son, he's 26 years old, speaks six languages. He's
wow.
a professor at the University of Calgary.
Now, see, that's impressive. That's the kind of stuff. One time. I had some relatives come to me and go, oh, yeah, Sonny's just going to love me because I've been in this trouble, I've been in that trouble. And you know what? My brother's attitude, he says, you know what? I got a whole lot more respect for people that have bothered to get an education. And that's how it should be. People think that bikers are low class. No, they're not.
No, they're not, exactly.
No.
They're
everyday
people like everybody else.
They have so much to teach, and they're the first ones to protect.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And the
right.
ones
that
I've
been told
I don't like seeing this stuff written about all the time that, oh, well, they molest children, they rape women, and they just go out and get presents for kids at Christmas. Well, the presents for Christmas, none of that, all of that is bull. The whole thing is bull. They do things because they want to do things.
Exactly.
And whenever they do anything wrong, it's on the front page. Whenever it's a retraction, it's on the back page.
Like,
so
I mean,
that's
I'm
not seen at all.
I keep
you know, Shirley,
up to date on all the runs that are out there in the States, you know. And you guys do the same as us. Actually, you guys do a little bit more than Canada because you guys got more nicer weather than we do around Florida and so forth like that.
Well,
but,
I'm in California, so we got
and I'm in
weather.
Chicago, so I'm in the winter.
Hello, Nora.
<Yeah. laughs> But, I mean, the brothers and the sisters, they raise money for cancer. They raise money for AIDS. They raise money
right.
for the blind. They raise money for so many great foundations. It's just unbelievable. And like I said, it never makes the papers.
No, and it goes back to the old thing where you used to see organizations and churches and all kinds of organizations were able to do things to help people. But then the government, both your government and our government, stepped in and said, oh, you have to have a permit for this, you have to have a permit for that. So we're not a nation where we can help each other anymore. It's almost like we have to go against the rules and against the laws to help each other. And that's just against human nature. If I see somebody, if I want to give food to some homeless or some fruit that I'm growing or something, I should be able to do it. But I have to have a permit. And it's things like that where you can't help each other. So now organizations, again, are helping each other. But it's biker organizations. You can't go to the church anymore and say, hey, I'm hungry. Now,
no, and you know, when we go down to the VA, we have to check in and let them know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's true. And, but I'll tell you, there's a little trick about that. When it comes to permits, if you have a sign that says that you're giving away food, whatever, to help people,
right.
then you need a permit. Do not put any signs.
Well, no, we
word
we
of mouth. Word of mouth. Then you don't need to get a license.
No, that's not true. Because here in California, if I have grapefruit in the backyard, if I wanted to take it and give it to one of the homeless places, the homeless shelters, or one of the food banks. I can't do it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah,
no,
in Canada, if you're not advertising it, you don't need a license.
Yeah, I can just give it away to friends. I've sent it to everybody. I got lemons, grapefruits. But anyway, that's beside the point. All I was trying to show is I just wish the government would get out of our lives. With all the unemployment, if they would make it easier for people to start their own businesses, there'd be a lot more people in business able to support themselves and eventually have the businesses grow where they could hire somebody else. But we have to jump through so many hoops and loops and fill out so many forms that you can barely take care of yourself, let alone anybody else.
Exactly. Like when the soup lines and the bread lines start again, which I'm sure they're going to probably end up going, you know, I mean, the deficit is just so far gone that Black Tuesday is going to happen again. Maybe not in our lifetime, but we're going to need a permit to give out soup as well.
Right. Well, I'm 75 years old, and this is the worst I have ever seen it. I've never seen so many people lose their homes or lose their jobs or be out of work for so long. And something has went very, very wrong. And, you know, we have a president here who decided once he got in the White House that he'd just have a couple of people come in and have beer and he could settle all the problems. It doesn't work that way, Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the only thing I like about that guy's word or his name is there's the word bomb in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know, right now, city of Los Angeles, okay, there's 8,322 homeless veterans that have served in this last war on the streets, living on the streets under the viaducts, the bridges, ever.
Well, it shouldn't be that way, and it's partly our fault for not standing up and really going to bat for the vets. It's just we have become so complacent, we just feel that our politicians have so much power that they don't listen to us anymore. It's time that, you know, Bill Cosby said it when he was talking about his kid. He said, I made you. I put you in, I'll take you out and make another one just like you. Well, that's what we need to do with the politicians. We need to say, hey, we voted you in, we'll vote you out and put in a better one.
Yeah, but they're always better ones. They always have the same thing. Oh, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. Vote for me. And as soon as they're in, what do? They're worse than the one before.
Well, then we need to get some kind of a system where you can get them back out.
I to be honest with you, I'm a very positive kind of guy. I always try to be as positive as possible. But I'll tell you, I think it's almost too late to ever get that back. Those poor vets that put their life on the line for us will never get the recognition that they deserve. The only time that they're recognized is when the brothers go and put up Christmas trees on their grave sites.
Well, I have a 30-year-old grandson that came back from Iraq, and he stayed in Kentucky. He didn't come back to California. He's out of work. He's injured. He has whatever that thing is they have when they're mentally wake up at night screaming.
Yeah.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Exactly.
He has that. He collects a little bit of money from the VA, but he's without a job. His foot is in a brace now because the job he had, he dropped something on it. He's a welder. It's a nightmare. They were supposed to help him get a job. He served his time in Iraq.
He was a weapon that was used when his time was there, and they will turn their backs on him. They already have. And that poor young man will never, ever have a good life. He'll never have a retirement plan. The people are not going to, the government is not going to be there to say, listen, man, you've done this. You lost a leg for us. Whatever, you've got shot. You got the Purple Heart. Now we're going to piss on you.
Right. But that's where this kid is lucky. He got grandma's going to step in, and I'll make sure everything goes right for him. But I can't do it for all of them. And that's the problem. If
no,
everybody
that's right.
has
I mean,
somebody, it would
you
be
can only
easier.
Do so much, but you take care of your own. And then that's, you know, if everybody takes care of their own, I think that is the most important seed that we can plant in the young minds and in the mind of the government. Because if the government starts seeing that, listen, you guys are not going to help. We're going to overrun you.
Right.
And we're going to start helping these people.
Well,
oh, they won't like you. They won't
yeah.
like you for doing that because you're stepping on their toes.
Right.
But if we keep stepping on them toes, you know, the chances are, especially I'm talking about the Americans at this point more than the Canadians.
Right.
But, man, I wish you all the best, and you guys have to stick together and start
right.
kicking some fucking royal ass.
It's true. Okay,
you know,
I'm going to get off here. I want to tell everybody good night. You guys have a good night. And, hey, it was a blast talking to you. Maybe I'll do it again sometime.
Night, Shirley.
Okay, Shirley, thank you for calling. I want
night.
To thank everybody for calling. I'm going to take us out with a little axe to Rudy Pell, Forever Angel. And I'll talk to you guys Thursday. Everybody that's here, I hope you return again Thursday. And everybody that listens to the archive, it's downloaded for free. You can pass it on to your friends wherever. And if you follow the show, I get a little message, and I'll give you a shout-out after I get the message. And I want to say good night, and God bless everybody, and talk to you soon.
You too, my brothers. Yeah,
nice.
Take care of everybody on
nice
the panel and
guys.
Everybody that was listening in, man. I love you guys, and watch your back, man. Take care of yourselves.
Congratulations on fighting your cancer.
Well, thank you very much, love.
You're welcome.
I feel really good.
Thank you.
Okay, love you guys.
All right, good night, everybody.
All right, my brother. Bye. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.